Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we journey into the realm of goddess divinations. I give thanks to everybody who is tuning in to Circle Sanctuary Network podcast live and to my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page, where I'm also live streaming. I'd like to begin our evening with a goddess chant that I created a number of years ago, the Goddess Energy Chant Dance, as it is known. The goddess is above us. The goddess is below us. The goddess is before us. The goddess is behind us. The goddess is around us. The goddess is within us. The goddess is within us. The goddess is around us. The goddess is above us. The goddess is below us. The goddess is before us. The goddess is behind us. The goddess is around us. The goddess is within us. The goddess is within us. The goddess is around us. Great goddess, we call to you as one and as many. Great goddess, we call to you, we honor you, we celebrate you. Be with us as we explore ways to deepen our connection with you and to receive guidance. Guidance of the past, the present, the future, insights for ourselves and others. We celebrate our connections, and may they deepen and strengthen now and in times to come. Goddess blessings. Goddess divination can take a variety of forms. I'm going to share with you in this live-streamed workshop some of my own approaches to goddess divination. There are different paths of goddess spirituality. So the first thing to consider is what particular pathway of goddess spirituality you will be attuned to and working with as part of divination work. For myself, I work with the goddess as a great one, an all goddess, Bona Dia, she's sometimes known, the good goddess. And she is one with many facets and many forms. To connect with her as all-encompassing, within us and around us, as demonstrated by the chant, calling to her in this more universal sense. So the pathway of the goddess as one, as the great goddess, is one approach. Some prefer to work with a particular goddess, a specific goddess. And one of the goddesses that I work with is the goddess Bridget. And I work with her in a variety of ways. I work with her as a goddess of fire, of the sacred waters, goddess of transformation. And I have several different goddess shrines and altars in my home. And we also have a Bridget spring at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, which is on land adjoining to the land where I make my home. Sometimes I work with Bridget in the form of rhythm and chanting. And I have a goddess drum that I use for healing as well as for meditation. So one approach in working with a particular goddess is to work with her by chanting her name, Bridget, 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 we call to you, Bridget, 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 we honor you, Bridget, 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 guide us, Bridget, 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 teach us, Bridget, 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 come to us, Bridget, Bridget, guiding us, Bridget, Bridget, Bridget. Invoking the goddess, honoring the goddess, and then spending time communing with the goddess. Calling on her to deepen our connection, calling on her to bring guidance. So whether you use rhythm, and my goddess drum has some special symbols that I've worked with, and including the swan, which in my ancestral system on my father's mother's side, I have connections with her going back to Old Scotland. And so the swan is a symbol of that particular family line and also one of the forms that Bridget herself takes. And certainly, if you're working with a particular goddess, you may find that there's an aspect of that goddess that you are more aligned with than others. So if that's the case, then stick with that and work with that. By doing an invocation, by strengthening your connections, one way of doing divination is strengthening that connection and being aware of guidance that spontaneously emerges during the course of whatever ceremony, meditation, or other spiritual activity you're doing specifically focused on that goddess. Or sometimes it doesn't happen in the ritual at all. It may happen while you are sleeping. It may come in a dream or after you have awakened. So dream incubation is something that I've worked with in connection with a particular goddess. Bridget is one of the goddesses I'm aligned with, but I also have other alignments as well. Now, in terms of pathways of the goddess, some people work with the goddess as triplicity. And yes, there are some triple goddesses in different pantheons. The mothers, for example, or the matres, are three mothers that are part of Romano-Germanic traditions. And as the Roman Empire and Germanic peoples interconnected many years ago, back in classical antiquity, a form of the three mothers was created in art, sculptures, and in tradition, or What more people are perhaps familiar with is the triple goddess in the form of maiden, mother, and crone. So perhaps in your own path, you have that connection with the goddess triplicity. Bridget, as a goddess, has three aspects in some traditions. She who is healer and midwife, she who is bard and goddess of inspiration, and she of the forge and transformation. So there are a number of different ways of working with specific goddesses in triplicity and some other multiple forms. In addition to working with goddess as one and a specific goddess, and then working with goddesses in multiple forms, it might be two or three or four, or like there are nine muses in Greek mythology. You may want to work with a combination of goddess pathways as part of your own spiritual practice. And I have a whole presentation I do on the pathways of the goddess, and I'm just sharing some of these approaches with you. So as you consider divination as a form of goddess spirituality practice, that you recognize that there's a variety of pathways to travel. I think if you are just starting out, it is a good idea to pick one pathway to work with it, attune to it, and become adept in it. If you've been doing this work over time and may already have strong connections with several different pathways of goddess connection and alignment, then you may want to go deeper on one of those pathways, or you may want to branch out and work with another pathway altogether. Some people find it is helpful to have some place in their home to do divination work. Some will have a home altar, and that is like a spiritual workplace. And divination might take the form of a meditation done in that place. It might take the form of working with some kind of divination tool in that place. And it might take the form of calling on a goddess form in that place and then being aware of what comes as a result of that inner work. In addition to having a home altar as a place to do divination work, you may want to create a special kind of altar or a goddess shrine for a particular form of the divine feminine, a form of goddess. Some people will have a combination of a home altar and their goddess shrine or goddess altar. So as you can tell, there's a variety of different ways to go about this. And I share this multiplicity, letting you know that there are many pathways to doing goddess divination. I like working with the all goddess, and I like working with particular goddesses, and I also have had experiences spontaneously where a form of a goddess will come to me as part of my questing for insight about a particular problem I might be working on or something that I'm really seeking to learn more about. I'd like to share with you some tools for goddess divination. And one of the tools that I enjoy working with are goddess cards. And I have several sets of goddess cards here. My first set of goddess cards I got many years ago and they have this wonderful goddess and moon on the back of the cards, and each card has a different goddess depicted. And for example, Sophia has a goddess of wisdom, and some of these goddesses actually, such as Sophia, is not only connected with pagan traditions, but their connections with some other religious traditions as well. And mystical Christianity has Sophia sometimes appearing as a form of Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And I've worked with Sophia in a variety of ways. I first connected with her. She came to me in a dream, and I've had opportunities to strengthen my connection with that particular goddess. So each of these cards in this particular deck has not only a goddess, but it has a keyword. So for Sophia, feminine wisdom, and a message, listen to the wisdom of your soul. So one way of doing goddess divination, and this is what I would call goddess card for the day, is to work with your deck. And as with other divination tools, once you get it, it's a good idea to do a blessing on it. You may want to consecrate it through some kind of ritual. You may want to use incense to bless it. You may want to chant with it. I'll leave that particular piece up to you. But essentially what you do is taking a brand new deck and then allowing yourself to honor the wisdom, to have this be a living oracle for you, and then to treat it carefully. Put it in a place when you're not using it where you know where it is and where it is available for use. When I do a one-card divination, the guidance for the day divination, I typically will shuffle the cards and often will use a phrase, guidance for the day, come, guidance for today, come, guidance for today, come, guidance for today, come, and either chanting that in my mind, or if you're in a place and you want to do chanting, and you can do it where you actually do it out loud in a whisper, or if you're in a place where you could actually chant it more audibly, then that actually strengthens the process. It's a kind of ritual that can enhance this. And then you keep chanting until you get a sense that the card that you are meant to have for your guidance is on the top of the deck. Then when you feel ready, you pull it up, and I've got Freya as my goddess of the day, and this is goddess of beauty. Acknowledge the power of beauty. Well, Freya has a lot of different aspects, and I have connections with Freya as well, and so as I work with the goddess card of the day for divination, I will spend some time with it. Often I'll take the whole deck and take the card, hold it before me, and I will gaze into the card and experience myself connecting with the goddess in the form that it is depicted on the card. And here she's in a chariot. And it is a card of motion and power. And after spending time picking the card, looking at the card, inviting the goddess to bring forth additional messages for you. And so for me, beauty can be found in many different ways. And beauty is more than skin deep. There's the beauty of the soul and the beauty of life and being able to connect with the power of the message and the power of the goddess. After you have gotten your guidance for the day and have reflected on that, be certain to give thanks to the particular goddess that you have worked with. And what I do is I do a Thanksgiving, and then I turn the card over, and then I reintegrate it into the deck before I put the deck away. So one really powerful way of doing a card a day divination method is that you have a way of learning about a variety of different goddesses when you're working with a goddess card deck in this way. And sometimes a particular goddess that is seeking to strengthen connection with you will make herself known in that way. And you may go on to actually do additional work with that particular goddess coming out of the divination work that you're doing. Now, there are a variety of different goddess card decks now available, and I also want to, celebrate that diversity. And there's one called the Goddess Oracle, and with this particular one, which we have used as part of our Samhain this past year. What I like about it is the box has a book in it, so there is some information for those who want to get some additional ideas about each of the goddesses that way, and there's a place for the cards. And cards take a lot of different forms. Some are round, some are, many are rectangular. And with this one, Amaterasu, who's right on top of this new deck, she has beauty connected with her. So as with the other deck, this one has different images, and here is a Bridget image. And on the back, all the backs are the same goddess oracle. So as with the other deck, this is a way of being able to work with a deck and draw a card for the day. That's just one method of working with goddess oracle cards or goddess cards. Another method would be with eyes open to look at each of the cards and then pick the card that and the goddess that seems to speak to you the most. And as I'm looking through this one, I have connected with Pachamama. Now, she's a goddess who has become multicultural but has her roots in South America. And some say has her roots with the Inca people. Some say people even before the Inca civilization happened. And I know from direct contact with people from Ecuador and Peru that have come to visit our center and be some of our presenters, there's many parallels amongst some of the practitioners of Pachamama. And this is a number of years ago. We had people at Circle Sanctuary who revered her as a Mother Earth, a form of Mother Earth, and very much was intrigued by our way of also working with Mother Earth, calling on Mother Earth by different names, but having a lot in common. So if you use cards in this way for goddess divination, essentially it's eyes open looking through, and what goddess seems to call to you as you look at the different images. Now, you might do that with a particular question in mind. Indeed, most people who do divination with some form of card system, be they goddess cards or rune cards or tarot cards, will actually phrase a question as part of their work. And certainly that is a powerful way to do divination. But I found with goddess divination work that there's even additional ways of doing this. Now, so this is an example of another deck called the Goddess Oracle, and a friend of mine from Australia, Tamara Von Forslum, sent me her deck, which is the Oracles of the Divine Feminine and the Goddess of 10,000 Names. So there is a variety. This too has a book that comes with it, and a variety of cards with different goddess forms. And I will use her deck now as a way of working with goddess divination in another fashion. So with her cards, she has images, beautiful images on one side and then some explanation on the other side. So with this one, another technique is to actually do what I call entering the card, is to call on the goddess as great goddess to guide you in a particular goddess form to help you sort through an issue or a problem. And I'm calling on great goddess to guide you to a goddess form. And then, as with the previous method, you look at the images and then find the one that you feel most strongly calls to you. And I have, there's so many beautiful ones that are calling to me right now, but I'm going to call, I have the goddess Justicia, the goddess of justice calling to me right now. And part of the work that I've been involved with, climate justice, social justice, and religious freedom work. And in this case, I have her as in this depiction. And for divination, I not only look at the image, but in this case, I actually see this as a portal and will project myself into the card and imagine that I am standing before Lady Justice. How I do this is to hold the card before me, eyes open, looking at the card, and closing my eyes and visualizing it within my mind's eye, opening my eyes, looking at the card again. And so in a way, I'm drinking in the image until I have absorbed it internally. And then once that has happened, then I close my eyes and imagine myself standing before the goddess and have a conversation with the goddess. When I use this technique, I begin by honoring the goddess and asking the goddess for the specific guidance that I'm looking to receive, and then I allow an image through imagination and transformation to unfold. So in a way, it's a kind of guided journey, but it comes through the catalyst of you using a goddess card, a goddess image, a goddess form, taking that internally and then interacting with it. As with other methods that I've talked about, as you're working with a goddess, yes, in a way, you could see it as a mental construct that you're interfacing with to tap into the powers of imagination. That's one way of looking at divination, but yet those of us who have goddess as part of our way of connecting with the divine, we acknowledge that the goddess actually has existence beyond our own personal consciousness and imagination. And I think it makes sense, whether you hold to that view or not, to be on a polite side and to give thanks as well as to do an honoring. So that may not, you may not have as part of your way of working with the goddess as having a real encounter with a divine being that might not be part of your belief system, but I do think taking the ritual processes of those of us who have this is certainly a good framework for deepening your connection. Once you have had your experience with the goddess and giving thanks, then you may want at that point to turn over and read whatever additional information comes with the card. It may or may not be what you yourself have worked with. And clearly with Lady Justice is the name I prefer to know her by. I have worked with her as I have done pagan rites work, especially in the court. She is a goddess that oversees court proceedings, and sometimes, as in this card, she is depicted with a blindfold over her eyes, impartiality. Actually, if you go back to classical times, she was considered all-seeing and all-knowing and didn't have a blindfold on. So there are different depictions, and that's one of the real wonderful things about goddess reality work and goddess divination work in particular, the nuances and some of the specialities that come from this. So as with the other systems, when you are done with the card, is to return it to the deck and to give thanks. And another method that you might do, if you feel there's more work to be done, is to take a card and actually put it on your home altar and to do a series of connections and communications with it. I have the goddess Hecate, Hecate, different people will call her name in different ways. The Hecate really comes out of the way it was pronounced in Shakespearean plays hundreds of years ago up to the present day. So whether you know her as Hecate or Hecate or Hecate, goddess of the crossroads, the goddess of magic and transformation. So I'm going to give an example of divination with her. You can use a card, a goddess card, as the centerpiece of a goddess shrine or altar. You can set it up usually in the center of your altar, and you may have candles, incense, other things that you will kindle as part of your way of honoring and connecting with her. Some people like to do divination over the course of several days and nights and to work with a particular form of the divine for that. And in this case, if you are setting the card up, then spending time meditating, chanting, reflecting, and then when you are done, giving thanks, but keeping the altar active. And then after a sequence of days and nights, when you feel complete with this, then doing a final thanksgiving. You may get instructions about additional things to do as your way of seeking guidance for the particular thing you are looking for to get insight on. Another thing that I would recommend as part of goddess divination work is the use of a journal to make a note of the day, the time, the method of divination, and the particular form of goddess, particular goddess that you are aligned with, to put that basic factual information down, and then to write about your experience. What did you do? What did you experience? Why journal? Why keep a record of this? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, it strengthens your connection with the divine in a general sense and a very specific sense with that particular form of divinity. Another reason is it helps you organize your experience in a way that you can go back and reflect further. Sometimes things happen as you are actually journaling about a divination experience that you have had. So you're writing down what you did, what guidance you received, and as you're writing that, additional guidance may come to you. So that can be another powerful way of connecting with the divine. And by having a journal that is part of your goddess divination work, or it might be part of a larger spiritual diary that you're working with, you will have in one place, and I'm old school, I like to handwrite it out. Some people prefer to keep it on a mobile device or a computer. If you do that, I do think from time to time it would be good to print out hard copy in case something happens to the digital files. But it actually starts creating a space and a place and a process for you to deepen your work. Now I'd like to talk about some additional ways of doing goddess divination. Going to a place that specifically aligns with a particular form of the goddess or the goddess as a whole. So at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we have something called Bridget Spring, and it's a place of healing. It's a place of reflection. People have done passage rites, baby blessings, marriages, croning, vision quests. We've had people who are seeking healing following the death of a loved one do some work at Bridget Spring and some divination at the spring. So the spring itself is aligned to the goddess. It has some traditions connected with it, including the old Clutie Well custom, kind of adapted for our location. In ancient times, a tradition was to take a strip of cloth, often a bit of one's clothing, and to tie it on a tree near a sacred well. Many of the wells were sacred to Bridget, but there were other deities, local divinities that might be connected with a holy well or a sacred spring. At Bridget Spring, we have a grapevine hoop on a hook above the spring, and people tie ribbons on, or in some cases, bits of cloth. And they serve as a kind of prayer ribbon. And that's an old tradition that we've adapted for our purposes, being able to be at that sacred place, to connect with the goddess who's aligned with that place, and because it's a spring, to actually put hands in the spring, anointing self as part of ritual work at that place. But a divination that some people will do at Bridget Spring, at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, or in southwestern Wisconsin, USA, is to actually to sit quietly at the spring and gaze into the spring to actually do divination through scrying. Now, our particular spring is artesian, and there's bubbles coming up as the water comes up from the earth. And so it's an active spring rather than just a calm surface. And the act of being one with the spring itself, as well as the goddess that's aligned with it, can move one into a meditative state of mind where guidance may come through internal self-talk, or there may be some visions that actually looking into the water may come, either through an imagining when within one's consciousness, or for those who are trained to actually scry, may actually be able to see it as a kind of holographic vision into the water. Now, you can also scry into other things. Some people scry in clouds and in flames. Some will look at patterns. Tea leaf reading is another way of scrying. And scrying itself can be adapted and connected with goddess divination work. So I mentioned Bridget Spring as an example of a place that is aligned with a particular goddess form where some people have gone to get healing as well as guidance as part of a healing process. Now, Bridget Spring, the spring's been around for a really long time. We've called it Bridget Spring now for over 40 years. And what was it known before we came to the land? Well, don't know the answer to that question. But many springs around the planet in different systems of spirituality and religion have had divine connections, and part of that is the mystery of the connection into the other world. There, in a way, it's like a portal. But a spring is just one example of a kind of sacred site that might be aligned with the goddess. One of the most famous of the goddess oracle shrines is actually Delphi. Now, most people know Delphi in Greece as a shrine aligned with Apollo. And certainly Apollo, god of prophecy and poetry and the sun, is definitely connected with Delphi. But much of the lore and some of the archaeological work that's been done indicate that before Apollo came upon the scene, pre-Olympian days, it was a shrine to the goddess Gaia, and deep into the earth, and being able to go into the earth literally and to commune with the divine as Earth Mother. What a powerful way to commune and attune and to get guidance. The tradition of having Pythia, priestess of Apollo, and before that, priestess of Gaia, being able to give messages to actually have the embodiment of the divine within a priestess at a sacred site is very ancient, not just at the Delphi Shrine, but it goes back across cultures and through the ages in a number of places. So you might find it to be a powerful thing to go to an ancient goddess oracle shrine such as Delphi. Yes, it's still possible to go there, but the traditions and the prophecies around it now are quite different than when it was an active pagan shrine for divination and understanding. In addition to actual sites where oracle connections happen, either oracles through one's own experience of being present or having an encounter with someone who embodies the goddess and gives guidance in that way, the idea of creating a sacred time and a sacred space for doing divination is something that makes it accessible for people, whatever their tradition and wherever they may be. So whether you're working with goddess cards, whether you're working with some type of goddess ritual, it is possible to do goddess divination, effective goddess divination, in your own home place or in some sacred place that perhaps it isn't directly linked with the goddess, but you have that resonance in a sacred area because it is a place where so much ritual activity has been done. I'd like to talk a bit about dream incubation and dream incubation and as a form of goddess divination. And in this case, one of the approaches that I find is effective is prior to going to sleep is to have a journal and pen and put a little table stand next to your bed, write down the question or the concept that you want insight over, and to write it down, the date, and to do a ritual before going to bed, actually just writing down what you want some insight on itself can be a ritual. But calling on the goddess, writing down your question, and then as you get into bed, to envision the goddess in some form. It may be a form from one of the goddess cards, if you have a goddess card deck, or it might be something that comes to you as you're actually doing the work. Now, goddesses can take a lot of different forms. A particular goddess, I'm talking about Bridget, she might be a swan, she might be a snake. She might be a red-eared cow, she might be a sheep. She might be in a human form. So there's a lot of different forms that she might take, and that's an example of just one goddess that can be in a multifaceted way. Most goddesses have symbols connected with them, and sometimes it might be a tool or an image or a color or a season. And Amaterasu, goddess of the sun in Japan, a supreme deity in the Shinto religion, and very much going across a lot of cultures now. A number of people have aligned with Amaterasu who aren't Japanese. She has come to people of other places. A goddess connected with winter solstice and the sun. Well, you might get an image, if you're working with her, of the sun rather than her in a anthropomorphized form. So envision the goddess, connect with the goddess, and then put your request in the form of a phrase that you silently repeat to yourself. For example, if you wanted some guidance about a new job, goddess, bring me guidance in my job quest. Guidance in my job quest. Guidance in my job quest. Silently repeating that as you go to sleep, I think as part of dream incubation, it's a really good idea. You include a couple other things. Don't have to repeat it multiple times, but to give yourself the suggestion, I will sleep well, I will dream well, I will remember what I dream, I will be able to make a note of what I dream, I will understand what I dream, and I will draw guidance from what I dream. So by actually also suggesting that you will remember what you dream is a good idea if you're doing dream incubation. For some people, they do not get the message the first night they do dream incubation. Sometimes it takes a couple nights. Sometimes it's time release. So I would say if you do dream incubation, be sure to give yourself several nights to get information and guidance. You may remember the dream but not quite figure it out at the time of waking. That's why it's important to write down your experience, because then you have a chance to reflect on it more. As with other forms of divination, with one or more forms of the goddess, give thanks. So, in the last part of our time together, I'd like to share with you an additional way of working with goddess cards. And one way of working with them is in a card spread. And those of you who work with tarot know there's all sorts of spreads out there. And a spread So one of the things that I am hoping to get some guidance on is, when will true broadband and better phone and internet connectivity come to this part of the world? So if you're working with goddess cards, and you want to work with multiple cards, then you'll actually be working with multiple goddesses, because most of these goddess card decks are designed where there's a particular goddess representing a different concept and message. So I like working with a three-card system as one spread, a goddess to talk with me about something from the past that has pertinence with the particular thing that I seek to get information on, a goddess card and goddess message for the present, and one for the future. So a three-card system can be really a powerful way of doing divination and aligning with the messages of three different goddesses. I also find that working with the five elements of nature system, earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, is another way of working with multiple cards and multiple goddesses to get guidance for particular, a general guidance. We have the new spiritual new year. For those of you who have Samhain as spiritual new year, we've passed that. We're moving into our full moon time now here in 2021. But winter solstice, the solar year, some people do guidance for the new year. That's the solar new year, some for the calendar new year. So a way of working with a five-card system is to have one represent earth, one air, one fire, one water, and one spirit. Earth, a message about your physical body. Air, a message about your intellect, your thinking, your communication. Fire, your will, what you're doing. Water, emotions, and relationship, spirit, your spiritual life. Well, this has been a kind of an overview of ways of working with goddess divination. I'd like to conclude with, I think, the divination that I use most of all, which is to have a daily spiritual practice as a way of keeping myself attuned and aware of my connections with the spiritual dimension of life, and to be aware of messages, intuitively aware of messages that may come as a result of spiritual practice. I do think that as one continues to work with the goddess as a whole and particular goddesses, that one's life can be enriched and we can grow in wisdom and understanding. I'm so thankful to all who have tuned in tonight, live and later, and I wish you many goddess blessings. Goddess above us, goddess below us, goddess before us, goddess behind us, goddess around us, goddess within us, goddess within us, goddess around us. We give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks. So the goddess is one, the goddess is many. Be with you, be in you, guide you, and may you continue to grow in spiritual wisdom and goddess connection through divination, through your spiritual practice of many forms. Thank you so much for connecting, and may you have wonderful experiences as you continue your spiritual life, your spiritual path. May the goddess be with you and bless you now and in times to come. So be it. I want to give thanks to our Circle Sanctuary Network podcast team, David and Jeanette Ewing, and Laura Gonzalez, and Deborah Rose, our podcasters, and to our social media team that includes Casey Pope and Jules, and we have a lot of different people working with us, and Laura is also helping us with that. I want to give thanks to Circle Sanctuary for sponsoring our podcasting network, and I want to invite those of you who would like to learn more about goddess spirituality, about nature spirituality in many forms, gods and goddesses and those that are beyond gender, to check out the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel, my own YouTube channel, Selena Fox, our social media and website. CircleSanctuary.org is our main website, and there you will find not only the schedule of upcoming podcasts, not only Nature Mystic, which I do on Sunday afternoons, and Nature Spirituality on Wednesday evenings, but all of our podcasts, plus the archives of podcasts that we have done in the past. We have a lot of workshops, rituals, interviews, discussions, a wonderful source of information and experience that Circle Sanctuary does as a service, not only to Circle Sanctuary members, but to the the larger community of those attuned to nature and spirituality. Thank you all for tuning in. Be blessed. And until next time, may you be well. So be it.
Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.